there's great diversity among us, but we're all here for the same reason, and that's the Word of God and our sharing the truth of God, and that is our reason for being here. And it's wonderful to see so many young people and children participating in this, because I started as a child too in the same thing, and and what I have to say today would be a challenge to the young people as well as to some of us older people. My key text today is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and some of the most wonderful advice and instruction to anybody, young or old, is found in these letters. He began in the second chapter by saying, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." If you take the time to study this, you'd see there's me, that's one. Thou, that was Paul, that's two. Same commit to faithful men, that's three. And four, who shall be able to teach others. So you have four hands that the truth is going through here. And one thing about the Church of God, Abrahamic faith, our churches are very family-oriented. My great-grandparents on both sides were of the faith, and my wife also was of the faith. And it was because somebody was faithful enough to pass it on to us. And I think it's a challenge even to the children and young people. I remember one time, one of the things that points this out to me, we were at Brush Creek, Ohio, and we had a very large family of underage children, and the father was a pilot, and he and his wife were both killed in an airplane accident. And it left their children, some in their early teens, with no guidance. The family that took them didn't raise them, Church of God, Abrahamic faith. Now, if they had, as children, had memorized and studied and drilled these things into their minds, they would have gone on, perhaps. But what I'm saying is, here is a challenge even to the children. Who is to guide them? We need to develop habits of Bible study early in life. I remember very well as a child, my great uncle, Uncle Jack, J.E. Adamson, in Pomona, California, had us kids work on the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Now you'd think that sounds pretty deep for kids, but he did. He found an image and he painted it all up with the different colors of the metals and assigned a different portion of the image to each one of us. And we had to study it and give sermonettes on that. We were very young, and that's drilled into my mind. But there is a charge that he went on here in the second chapter. He mentioned the soldier. He said the conditions of approval. In other words, what I'm talking about today is this idea of approval of God. How can we be approved of God? Well, it's through study. And there are other ways that we're talking about approval here. The soldier must not be entangled with the affairs of this life. That's what it's talking about here. The fourth verse of the second chapter. Then it says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. It so happens that the strive for masteries here is athleo, and has to do with athletics. He's talking about people in athletics. And if there's anything that's pointed up in recent years to us, it's the Olympics and doping and all the things that people have gone through to try to enhance their strength and their speed and so forth. And we know, we have seen in many instances where these medals have been taken away from them because they did not strive rightfully. And So that is one of the things that to be crowned, you have to strive lawfully. The husbandman has to be first partaker of the fruit. But then he went on to say, the Lord will give you understanding, verse 7, and it does not say knowledge. He will give you knowledge. This is something that comes only by study. I jokingly say that all my time in school, I never did learn to put a book under my pillow and absorb the information by osmosis. It never did work. I had to crack the books and had to study it. And it surprises people, and people kind of contradict me today to say that at 87 I'm still studying every day. You never can know it all. If I knew it all, I'd be God, and I'm not God. So that's why I still have to keep studying. And so God will give us wisdom as we study this. But the 15th verse is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This idea of rightly dividing has to mean cutting straight. I never will forget, and I know that all of you hold Alva Huffer dear to you. I hold him dear to me. I remember when he first introduced his systematic theology, that he talked about the great sciences in the world, but he felt that the greatest of all was theology, the study of God. Yes, we can be good geologists and botanists and chemists and physicists and all this, but they're good for this life only, but theology is good for now and for the life to come. But we have to apply workmanship-like manner to study. We can't just say, well, let's pick a text, and we'll take it out of context. We can do anything we want with it, and we can wrongly divide it and come up with the truth. But you don't do it that way. It has to be has to be workmanship. Study to prove yourself a workman. And I tell kids, and I always surprise them when I understand that study is tiring. In fact, if you study very much, you're tired, brain tired, and physically tired. But it's still worth it, and it's a wonderful challenge to study the Word of God. I am known in antique circles as being knowledgeable in Edgefield pottery and other antiques, but I would rather, much rather, be known for being a student of the Word of God, because that is, these other things are avocations, and they will pass away, but study of the Word of God has great benefits now and in the future. There's a very interesting text in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And I use this sometimes to try to, in a way, counter criticism that we take a little bit here and a little bit there and we come up with our doctrines. But this, in the 28th chapter and beginning at the 9th verse, he said, who shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And now this sounds like double talk, but then he goes on, the word of God was unto them. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The way I explain that text is that the Bible is like a recording of God's conversations to us. There's no place that you can go in the Bible to learn all about God. There's no one spot in the Bible you learn all about man and his nature. There's no one place you learn all about the second coming. It's just like we had a recording of what God was conversing with us about, and all of us, when we meet somebody, we do well to remember their name. And then maybe the next time we meet them, we find out if they're married or not, and where they work. And then maybe later their children's names. And then what church they go to. But this all comes over a period of time, a little bit here and a little bit there. So it's just like God turned a recorder on through the centuries and kept talking to us, and he didn't talk about the same subject all the time. And so you have to go here a little and there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, in order to find the truth. So it is workmanship. In fact, there is a text in Corinthians that talks about people dealing deceitfully. 2 Corinthians 2:17. The opposite of rightly dividing the word of truth is dealing deceitfully with the word of truth. One of the things that puzzled me for so long is that we have preachers out preaching wrong doctrine. And they're using the Bible. And it puzzled me. How can they proceed and progress for so long teaching wrong things? Well, the thing is that the power is built into the Word of God. If you use it rightly, you have power. If you use it wrongly, you have power. So that's the answer to why they progress and are successful, because the power is in the Word. It says that it's the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, the bones and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, good or bad, in our preaching, the Word of God has power. So that is one of the reasons why it is such a challenge to cut straight the Word of God and not deal deceitfully with the Word of God in our preaching. One of the things that I am realizing is that the Church of God, Abrahamic faith, has come to a very critical time in its history. Our forefathers studied themselves out of the major denominations to become separate people. I never will forget Brother L.E. Connor, Lincoln Ellsworth Connor. He was in his 80s when I was in the Bible College in 1940, and he was a lawyer. And he talked about how in law school they had debating, and the premise was handed out that man contains an immortal soul. And so he, not being of our faith, said, well, I'll take the positive on this because the Bible is just full of that. And so when he was doing his homework, he read the New Testament through. He said, I didn't find it. So he said, I guess I missed it. So he read it through again, and he still didn't find it. So he studied himself into conditional immortality and became one of the real stalwarts of our church and of our faith. I have to plead guilty that many times us kids in the class would get him off the subject just to hear him talking about the good old days. And he was wonderful. And I can tell you quite a few of the stories that we got him off on. But that I remember, he taught classes like orthoepy. Whoever heard of orthoepy? Well, it's reading with understanding and emphasis. But I remember his stories, and they were good, and they had a point. The thing of it is that we're seeing changes. In fact, anybody here can correct me, but I remember when I first came to Guthrie Grove that the old-timers used to talk about the church starting in a brush arbor. I think it was out over where Clardy's live, that after they broke away from the church where they had been attending. And they said that some of the enemies in the of the church stood across the road with guns. This is something I remember hearing them say. It was dangerous. They came out of an established religion to go along with Enoch M. Anderson and a very strange religion to most of them. But the thing that hurts me very badly is to see succeeding generations who have not had a part in this battle and this fight for independence going back to the churches out of which our forefathers came. I've heard them say, oh, they're real nice folks. Well, I think the prophets of Baal probably were pretty nice folks too. But the thing of it is that, or others said, oh, I love their music. That's no reason to go to somebody else's church where they're not teaching the truth. just because they're nice folks or you like their music. The faith, the doctrine that we come to through our study is what separates us. And it's extremely important. And if the church is to be vibrant and real and alive and separated in the future, it's going to be because we see the difference. And that in a sense, we are still fighting. It is said in the scriptures, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And it means to literally fight and do battle. And it is a fight. One of the things I would hastily add here, that since I have had my business in antiques and so on, I've met people of all different faiths. Some of my closest friends are Baptist and Episcopal. I have a very dear friend that's French Catholic. And one day we were sitting around the table, and the young fellow that pops with my son is a Huguenot. Well, if you all know about the Huguenots, they came to this country after they revoked the Edict of Nantes, giving permission for Protestants to worship in France. That's what sent the Huguenots here. And here we were sitting around the same table, my Huguenot friend and a French Catholic from Nantes. But we didn't fight each other. We didn't kill each other. We're friends, but we don't compromise the truth. It's there, and it's one of the separations. But we go on with that. We are in a day of trouble, the day of apostasy. That is the falling away, and an apathy. I've heard people through the years say, well, look at so-and-so church, not of our faith. Look, they've become a part of the apostasy. The apostasy is not talking about people who've never had the faith. It's talking about people who've had the faith who turn away from it. That's what it's calling falling away. You don't fall away from something you've never had. And so as a result, we have to say to ourselves, well, what if the Bible was outlawed? What if we were commanded and ordered not to teach our children the truth? What would we do? It's a very dangerous time, in fact, in which we are living, and there are many countries of the world where people do not have the freedom to study and to teach their children. And I say that some people might not miss the Bible if they did away with it. I hate to say that. But one of the things that I have emphasized in camp back through the years and emphasized in Sunday school and my family is memorization. Memorizing the Word of God. And the golden age of memory is in those junior years, about 9 to 12. That's when we remember most. But when I was in the Bible training school, Edna Brewer from Brush Creek, Ohio, was our matron at the student home. We memorized Bible at the table every day. And there are many chapters that I can recite from memory today as a result of that. And the thing I think I point to is Jesus. He memorized. He knew the Bible. He wasn't God, so he didn't know it. He had to study it, and he did. In fact, when you go back to his temptation in the wilderness, every temptation he had, he answered with Scripture. And we need to have that in our minds, too, that when we are tempted, that we can answer that temptation with the Scripture. He was tempted to command the stones to be made bread so he could feed the common people so they would follow him. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew the Son of God could change the stones into bread. Every temptation he had was based on the knowledge that he was the Son of God. Just like jumping off of the pinnacle of the temple, that would cause the religious leaders to follow him. He said, no, you'll not tempt the Lord your God. Finally, he said, I guess I'll establish the kingdom of God today as a worldly kingdom. No, that wouldn't work either. But he answered each one of these with a Scripture because he knew Scripture. And all of us need to know the Scriptures so that we can order our lives daily, and especially, as we say, to resist temptation through the Word of God. Again, we have to apply workmanship-like methods and skills to Bible study. We have to follow the rules for Bible study, God's Word and words, its form. I try to describe people as the Bible is like a tree. You see the form. You get the overall message. Then you see it has limbs. Then it has twigs. Then it has leaves. And then you turn the leaf over. You look at the chapters. You look at the verses. You look at the words. And you turn the words inside out and study them. It's difficult to understand the Word without understanding the words, plural. And therefore, that puts us back to study. I'm sorry that when I was in the Bible training school and Bible college, they did not teach Greek. I am not a Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, but I do have lexicons and concordances, and it permits us to look these words up, and all of you can do the same. You don't have to be a Hebrew or a Greek scholar. But the thing of it is that we have to understand the Word, we have to understand words. The thing that is uppermost in my mind, should be in the uppermost in the minds of all Christian people, is to be approved of God. To be approved of God now and in the future when He would say, "Well done, enter into the joy of your Lord." Here, enter into the kingdom of God. God won't be a stranger to us because of our knowledge of Him through the Word. And therefore, it is for us to get acquainted with Him through His Word that He has so faithfully given to us, caused to be inspired, recorded, preserved, and yes, passed on. The same things that you have heard of me, commit to faithful witnesses who may be able to teach others also. Pass it on. One of our favorite camp songs, and I'm saying to you today, this is the thing that we need to pass it on to others. If you want to live a life of no regrets, be a Christian. If you want to spend your time with no regrets, study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God bless every one of you today.